This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Banger.
Don't tell me this isn't cheesy.
It is a banger is what it is.
Yeah. When I walk on by, girls be looking like Debbie Fly. I pick to the beat, walking down the street and my new the freak. Yeah. This is how I roll. Animal print pants out of control. It's Red Food with the big ass fro. And like Bruce Lee, I got the clout. Yeah. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body.
This guy better get to the point
soon. Coming out.
I work out. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. I work out when I walk in the spot. This is
well,
what
I do.
I see.
It's not as cheesy, though. This guy say he's got passion in his pants? Is that what I just heard?
You got passion in your pants?
Come on, dude. Tell me you can't
not what we're talking
move
about?
To this.
Is that what we're really talking about here? Your pants passion?
My lord. I bet you this guy wore a tight shirt.
This would be a good walk-up
song. It sounds rocks, dude. This is a banger. If this comes on and you're at a club or whatever, like every single person is moving.
Dude, well, if you're
is,
in a club.
This
yeah.
is totally the walk-up. What an
you
awesome walk-up.
You walk up and it's like, I'm sexy.
You know who this is? This would be Castellanos. With
yeah.
that, how he's got that
totally
extra
agree.
Button open.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
This is Nick. Yeah. All right, good morning to you. 215-592-9494. We're going to get this segment to something Vic Fangio said recently about discovering the superpowers of Zach Bond. Pretty interesting stuff. Also, I need someone's help. We talked about this recently on the show, but not in any depth. And I'm not looking to go too deep, but I just need someone to tell me. For the real ID thing, which is coming up in May, what do we need to do? Is it as simple as just go to the DMV?
Yeah.
And do we have to get it? Do we have to get it?
I think
you have
a passport.
I have a passport, so I don't
then your passport.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But is there another reason?
No,
Joe, they're right. I've looked this up. If you have a passport, you can travel with the passport 100%. The question is, are there other benefits to getting this? Is what I'm wondering.
Yeah, I don't know.
But they are definitely right, Joe. Right. I've read a few articles about it, and you definitely could travel with a passport. That I know
yep.
for sure.
Both locally and internationally.
Locally and internationally. Yeah.
And then my plan, and maybe I'm wrong here. My plan is the next time my driver's license is up, which is coming up here soon, it will be reconfigured with this real ID thing. But in the meantime, my passport will still be valid, okay. and I'll have to use that for travel.
All right. Well, listen, if anyone has any other information beyond that, I'd be curious because I just, you know.
I don't know.
I hear people say you got to get it, and then I hear you guys say you don't have to get it. So I don't know which it is.
I don't think that you do, but I'm not 100% certain.
Fair enough. All right, to the phones we go. Let's go.
And if we go get our license is expired in a year, do we get the real ID when we get our license?
Yes.
Or is it, okay, that's what I'm wondering.
That's how
okay.
it will work.
Yeah, but what happens if you don't have it in the interim? That's the,
then
you
better hope you have a passport.
Do you have a
and
problem?
If you don't,
or not,
you might have to go wait in line to get your real ID if you don't have a passport.
All right. Well, if someone knows more, let us know. because we covered a lot there, but maybe there's some details that matter we don't know about. All right, let's talk to Joelle as we broadcast today from Borgata. Joelle, when are you going to play? Good morning, Joelle. How are you, pal?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Got doing well.
So I just wanted to touch on the Eagles and just how just looking back on everything. And I just got to say, man, any synonym you could find for happy, for euphoria,
yeah,
for joy, anything like that, because, my dad, he died in the 90s, but he seen the Eagles lose in the 80s, that Super Bowl. And my mom used to tell me he would pray. He would get on his knees literally and pray for the Eagles to win the championship. So for him not to be here, but his sons to see not one championship, but two of them.
Yeah.
It's just, I have no other feeling but just joy. And to know that our two Super Bowls, our first two Super Bowls came from beating possibly the two greatest quarterbacks of all time. It's just.
That's quite a thing. You're right, Joel. That is true.
You have Brady's head on a mantle, and you have Mahomes right next to it. And
yeah,
those are our first two rings. It's amazing. Looking into the future, I think Howie is always going to put us in a position to contend, because that's all you can do. That's all you can ask for. You can't ask for it.
Yeah. Look, here I'll frame it slightly different. He's going to have his down years, Joel, because it's inevitable. If he's here for another 20 years, you're going to have your stinkers every once in a while. But he is so much better than most general managers. He should, I think, moving forward, consistently have the Eagles, for the most part, being a quality football team, because that's what the past represents. I mean, listen, Howie Roseman, in my opinion, is the most important Eagle.
Yeah,
period.
Yeah,
I think he's the most important Eagle. I mean, and if he hit the open market.
He's the most important person in Philadelphia sports.
He probably is. He probably is the most important person in Philly sports. And if he ever hit the open market, Joel, and wanted to go work for a different NFL team, with how many billions these owners have, I mean, if I'm a billionaire, multi-billionaire, as some of these guys are, I'd pay him $25 million a year. If I'm going to spend hundreds of million dollars on a roster.
Yeah, there's no cap on the executives.
Yeah, let me give a guy $25 million to pick the right players. Why not?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like Jacksonville's owner? That's what he should do.
Carolina's owner has like four times the amount of money of any owner in the NFL. Like,
that's crazy. Joel, give me a great answer, my man, for what's something you would change.
Okay, so we can't change it, obviously, but I wish I could change, especially with my name being Joel. I wish I could have changed Ben Simmons' mindset about shooting jump shots.
Yeah,
that's a really good answer. Yeah,
good.
It's past tense. Like, the only part about it I don't like is it's like 7 years too late. But I get your point for sure.
Hey, I have more information on the Real ID from Charlie.
Talk to us.
You'll need the Real ID to get into federal buildings, but if you have a passport, you can also use that to get into federal buildings.
Okay.
You can get a Real ID anytime, even after the May deadline. So you don't, but if you don't need to fly or get into a federal building, you can wait, especially if you have a passport, because in the interim,
but what
you
if
can
you
use
do
that.
Need to fly?
If you need to fly, do you have a passport?
Yes.
Then that will
That's
suffice
all
also.
Good. Okay. Well, then it doesn't matter.
Shout out to Charlie. Deadline?
Yeah, so, after the deadline. That's what we're talking about. Not before. After. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So then it's irrelevant.
If you have a passport.
If you have a passport.
The passport is very helpful for you.
So basically the passport, which used to be for international need, now you're going to need it for domestic.
Yes.
Is that essentially the...
If you want to get into a federal building or to fly.
Okay. All right. Now that makes sense. 215. Appreciate that. Charlie, thank you. Whoever you are, sir. 215-592-90. I know about John's like, Charlie text me. Who the hell's Charlie?
Charlie, our caller. Charlie.
Charlie, back in here.
Yeah, your buddy Charlie.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'm just saying it was a little, like, Devin, did you know who Charlie was?
I didn't.
Yeah, okay. I just, Rita,
but like,
Rita, did you know who Charlie was?
No, John is sitting next to me, and I saw it was a number that he, I don't know if he had it saved, and it looked like a, not a
No, I thought it might be. I thought it might be, but it was just.
Oh, you do have, there you go.
You did say it casually, I agree. It was everyone knows
Charlie. Our bestie
Charlie.
Charlie.
Like, exactly. Charlie Manuel?
Right. All right, I want to get to something Vic Fangio said recently. So, he talked recently about figuring out the Zach Bond thing. So credit, he says, of course, to Howie for selecting him to, be signed. But then Vic sees him and thinks, I think I can use this guy a different way. Listen to Vic Fangio.
You know, how he had a vision for him is being an edge player for us and being a good special teams player. And I watched him, and just a couple times during the their games, he would, if they got the tight end off and motioned him across, he would back off and look like an inside linebacker, a stack linebacker. And it only happened about five or six times. And the way he was moving when he got back there, it's just, and I can't explain it. It's just, you know, you've watched 40 years of NFL film and coaching linebackers. I said, man, I think this guy could be an inside linebacker.
I mean, John, it's just an amazing thing
That's
to discover
incredible.
That quickly.
That is incredible. He
right?
said it's just five or six times he saw it happen, and it's when the tight end would swap. You know, like it, you know what I, what mm-hmm. he's talking about. Mm-hmm. The tight end shifts. The tight end, you know, steps off the line of scrimmage. He'll motion to the yep. other side, and now you got the guy, the edge guy, useless as an edge guy over a ghost tight end. So they would just walk him off the ball and he would stand there and play in space. And Vic said, wow, he's got these space skills that make him an opportune position swap guy. Man, it just the gift that he has to be able to conceptualize yeah. that from five or six plays. And then that, man, this we're talking about. He turned around the very next season and became not Pro Bowl.
Right.
All pro.
No question.
All pro, yeah. off ball, inside linebacker, really in my mind, and maybe I have a bias because these are the guys that I had to, you know, train to try to hurt.
Right.
Try to beat. I feel like it's the most iconic position in the sport, if you really want to. Like, if you really want to have to choose.
Back in the day, middle linebacker.
Inside linebacker, yeah, yeah. It is iconic. You
I
want
agree.
To talk about a badass?
Yeah.
And this guy was hidden. He's a hidden badass, and only Vic Fangio can see
yeah.
the true badassness. And then you got to make the position shift. You got to make the
yeah.
change. That's incredible, the commitment that it takes from both sides.
And just to see it after five or six times, that's
– Yeah.
Anyway.
Amazing.
Know. That's an eye. That is an eye right there. 215-592-9494. All right, coming up, what Rob Thompson said about Alec Boehm and his struggles. Mike Mayock on the afternoon show yesterday talking about draft strategies as organizations do it. Also, the Howie Roseman thing. Elliot at 7:30. Pete the Hammer at 7:45. And phone calls throughout the show. Your chance to win Phillies tickets today. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
From Borgata today. No, I don't get it. What is this?
The guy in the creek.
River.
Take me to the river. You said, take me to the river. We're going to the creek.
Is
literally
this the song
said
that was...
the phrase, take me to the river.
Yeah. Is this the song that was in The Sopranos?
I don't know. It's Talking Heads.
Because I thought there was an episode when Tony had that.
You always reference songs as what they're in instead of just the song itself.
Yeah. This is a
I know this one. Because it's the Talking Heads. That's
okay.
why I know.
Well, I love the Talking Heads, but I can't say I love the song. All right, good morning to you. So the Phils were not quite in the river last night, but they were in the rain for a good long while, and then in the clubhouse for a good long while, a long, long while, and then ultimately lost that game in the 11th inning. Not one, in my opinion, you can complain too much about, other than if you want to get on the offense, obviously. There's,
my goodness,
there's a lot
that
to
was
say
terrible.
There. Yeah, one run in 11 innings, not good. So, but 8-4 so far this year. Even the bullpen, which ultimately spit
Very
it up.
Good the, for the most
spit
part.
It up in the end. I mean, they were good for a long while.
Johan drawing a bases loaded walk in the 11th.
And celebrating quite a bit there as he was, you know, he was clapping his hands and looking back to the dugout. And all right, so, and it was a big moment, obviously. So, look, Phils lose. They get back at it with the next series up ahead here against the Cardinals. Also, a lot today on the Eagles, both looking ahead, but also looking back to the Super Bowl experience and the Super Bowl season experience. And what you're feeling reflective 2 months from that, but also knowing a new campaign, you know, is on the horizon. And just your thoughts as a Super Bowl champion fan for the second time. you know, what it feels like when you think both back and ahead with the Birds. All right, let's also get, and you can weigh in on all this at 215-592-9494, to our first Twitter poll question of the day, which is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's selection of premium one-owner pre-owned pickup trucks at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. So yesterday we had a question during the show, which was the most memorable split? And we had so many good answers, we couldn't figure out at the end of the show which to go with. So we put 12 of them into semifinalist roles today with polls. So first hour's poll, John, was which of these was the most memorable? Now let's all weigh in ourselves, and then we'll get to the results. The four choices from the first hour for a memorable split: the Berlin Wall, Biggie and Tupac, their friendship, obviously, Tiger and Elon, Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. John, which would you personally choose?
Huh. I think the Berlin Wall, that concept, the fact that the wall actually dissected the city, that split the city in half, and that they thought that would work.
I'd go with that as well.
Yeah.
Devin, what do you got here?
I got to go with Berlin Wall.
Big. Rhea?
No, Tiger and Elon.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Change golf.
It changed. I mean, didn't he have the most sterling reputation prior to that?
Yeah, it certainly changed his reputation.
I mean, he was, you know, probably one of the top three athletes in the entire world, and it came crashing down.
Sure did.
Massively.
James, which would you choose?
I was all ready to say clean sweep for the Berlin Wall, but it's not, but I will say Berlin Wall.
All right, John, sorry, James. John, which one wins amongst our listeners that voted online?
Maybe Brady?
Berlin Wall.
Okay.
So Brady gets 31%, finishes second. It's not a bad showing by Brady and the Patriots. 43% Berlin Wall, 31% Brady, 15% Tiger, 11% Biggie and Tupac. So Berlin Wall will be in the finals in the 9 o'clock hour. Now we open up the second poll today. Same question, memorable split, which is the most memorable? Choice A is the 38th parallel. That's North and South Korea, the separation point. Choice B is Babe Ruth and the Red Sox. It caused a curse for close to 100 years. Choice C is Brad and Angelina, and choice D is the Atom, the split of the Atom.
Man.
Get voting at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Speaking of voting, there was voting that happened recently, and I think a great choice was made. John, I'm going to guess you don't know about this. So people on the younger side won't recognize the music or the iconic line or phrase, but many older folks certainly will. And we found out yesterday, courtesy of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, John, we have a new Hall of Famer in the broadcast category, the Pete Rozelle Award. Man, does this guy deserve it. It's like 30 years overdue. Take a listen.
You are looking live at RFK Stadium in Washington, where the Buccaneers are making their first ever visit. Tampa Bay hopes to make the capital of its own as Vinny Testaverde returns after being sidelined with a bruised knee.
I mean, if you're going to put writers and broadcasters in the Hall of Fame, which they do and I think is good to do, it's not the same distinction as a guy that, played, but if you're going to have broadcasters in the Hall, how do you not have Brent Musburger in there? The guy was the face of the NFL.
Did he need to retire for a while first? Or
is Merrill Reese retired?
It was just technicality.
Is Merrill Reese retired? No. I mean,
the games that he's done.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's just, right? He did Nova Georgetown.
Sure did.
Correct? Yeah.
Sure did.
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Final Fours, golf, he was doing everything.
One of my favorite Final Fours he did.
He did Rocky, too.
Yeah. Oh, yes, he did. But I think it was Louisville Duke, a long time ago, and it made me laugh because he went, they were going into halftime. He goes, it's a one-point game, but it's been a close one. I'm like, all right, Brent.
Well, congrats to Brent. I was happy for him. He's had a storied career.
I have a voicemail on my phone from Brent Musburger because my uncle was in Vegas and he saw Brent out and he told him that I worked in sports. He was like, hey, is there any way I can get you to call and leave my nephew a voicemail? So that's a voicemail. I'm like, hello, this is Brent Musburger. And it's so obviously saved it forever. It's so cool.
That's great.
Amazing.
That's great.
That's so cool that he would do that.
That's cool. Well, I'll give you a quick Brent and then we'll get right back to the phone. So I interviewed him about 10 years ago prior to that first championship Nova had under Jay Wright. So the second in school history. But the night of the title game between Villanova and UNC, 2016. So I had Brent on my show about an hour before the game. Thing is, we actually taped that interview about 4 or 5 hours before the show. And just the way it was configured, audio, being in a studio, we couldn't play for him the way we were going to start the interview, which was coming back from break, playing the audio. I mean, Ree, you just referenced Villanova Georgetown, his call April 1st, 1985. You know, that's it. Villanova has done it. And then the sounds of the band and the whole deal, and, you know, everyone goes wild as Villanova wins. And so I had to say to him, like, hey, Brent, this is off air, like off air, if you will, meaning before we start the taped interview. I say, Brent, just so you know, right before we bring you on, we're going to play your call. But you're not going to be able to hear it when we're about to tape this. I just want you to know we're going to play your call. And right in the beginning of the interview, as a pro, he just starts. He's like, oh, well, as we just heard right there, you know, with the call.
That's so great.
He was so on it.
That's awesome.
You know what? He's a pro. So anyway.
That's awesome.
Brent Musburger, congrats. He certainly deserves it. All right, Elliot will join us in the next couple of minutes. Also, Pete the Hammer in about 15. Donna in Philadelphia right now. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing great, Donna.
Fantastic. Love being at Port Gata and love talking to you, Donna. Talk to us.
And I love talking to you guys as well and listening. How are you?
Oh, good?
Super.
Tremendous.
Good. Okay, so with the Eagles, can I do the what would I change? First?
Sure. What would you change? You can win the Phillies tickets.
The owner of the Sixers.
Ooh.
Good. That is a great answer.
A
yes.
That could win. Man, that's
Yay.
Good.
I hope it does.
It might. It might.
Then, yeah. And then as far as the Eagles, well, first, real quick with the Phillies.
Yeah.
We have to remember, guys, it's still early. So let's just ride it out and see what happens at the end. Because this goes for the Eagles as well. Expectation leads to disappointment. So I just want to ride the wave, enjoy the game, and just be happy.
Is this another way, Don? I'm just curious. Is this a way to say, even if they falter to an extent next year, you'll be more, you know, less apt to be critical because they just provided so much joy? I mean, that did happen. It has happened before in Philly sports. If you just win a title, it's hard to get on their case too much.
Right, exactly. That's one thing. And then being an Eagles fan for so long, and we were void of a Super Bowl for so many years, I'm happy that within the last 10 years, we've gotten there. We won two, and we lost one. We got there and lost one. So I'm really, being a longtime Eagles fan, I'm really happy for just that, because who would have thought after that first one that we would get back again? Or did we have too many high expectations after we won the first one to say, we're going to keep going?
Don, I hear you. There's only two comps in a long time in Philly sports. Sixers got to a bunch of NBA finals late 70s and the 80s, and the Flyers did as well in the 70s and in the very early 80s. I think they both got to four, and this team's gotten to three in eight seasons, which is tremendous. Donna, give me an answer. What would
she
you change?
Oh, she already
answered. Oh, yeah, good answer. Right
and,
there.
And here's what I will say, though. Like, everybody's going to be fine next year. I just remember the year after they won in 2017 with Doug. Didn't take us long to start complaining about things that were going on.
There were
on.
Some. I remember that
was
ridiculous.
Tampa game,
the thing that stands out to me, I think it was 18, but maybe it was 19, but I thought it was 18. The ridiculous decision versus Minnesota on the road to run a fake field goal at the end of the half from far away. Mm-hmm. So even if they got the first down, the clock could still expire.
Yeah, like exactly.
There were
mistakes made.
That was 18.
We were not happy.
Yeah. And then Doug had the all-timer when he said, and I love Doug, but when he said, they couldn't run. It was either a two-point conversion or a play near the goal line because they had run out of those type of plays. Like, what are we talking about here? All right, we're talking about the Eagles. You know, certainly have a great organization. Mike Mayock talked yesterday to the afternoon show about strategies that organizations can utilize for an NFL draft. Obviously, draft coming up in 2 weeks. Interesting exchange here, Spike and Mayock yesterday.
What is the difference between a team that is good at maneuvering and a team that isn't good at maneuvering?
It's preparation and confidence and a chain of command that is that everybody understands. Yeah. You can't be sitting there looking for your owner or your head coach and your offensive line coach. You've got to be ready to go and pull a trigger. And if you need to talk to somebody quickly, that's fine. But in the first round, you get 10 minutes. You know, most of the rest of the round, you get significantly less. Mm-hmm. So I used to think that some teams panicked and you kind of wanted to hammer at them a little bit. You know, call them on the clock with 4 minutes left. Hey, you want to do this? Right. And see if they'd make a mistake.
Look, obviously Howie runs a great ship. Because when you hear that, you think of other organizations that don't.
Oh, man.
I mean, think about what he just presented. If you think someone doesn't have a good ship, like Jacksonville, you know, try to poach them with 4 minutes to go on the clock and see if you can get something. All right, let's talk about the draft. Let's talk about the season that just was, obviously, when the Eagles won. All of this and more with our next guest, Elliot Sherparks, who joins us most Fridays, and he's with us right now. Good morning, Elliot.
What up? How you guys doing?
Quite a bit, my man. Quite a bit. That was a great interview with Mayock yesterday, and we're going to play more of that audio coming up here in the next few minutes, other pieces of audio from it. But, Elliot, let's start, before we get to the draft and what lies ahead, you know, a lot of our show today has been focused on what was with the Eagles Super Bowl. We hadn't revisited it in about a month and a half. And as you reflect back, not just to the game, but the journey, the 5-6 month journey, what stands out to you when you look back in the rear view?
Man, that's such a tough question because I feel like there's so many things. I mean, it's probably in my career the most just rewarding season I've ever covered. But I think just what I'll remember most, if, you know, hopefully in 10 years we're still doing this, like, just the mentality of the team. I think one thing I'll learn from this season and covering seasons to come is how much it just matters, like, the mentality of the team, how focused you are. Is everyone rowing in the same direction? And that's something I feel like I noticed pretty early on with this team. And then to take that a step further, personally, I'll always have regret that I thought it would be a close game. Like, to all season, be around that team, and then going into that final week, I remember being on Radio Row in New Orleans and telling callers, like, no, it's going to be close. Going to be close, and then obviously it wasn't. So
right.
I'll always remember on what a mission they were on and how well, like, executed that mission was.
Yeah, no, it was an all-timer, and obviously, especially coming out of the 2023 debacle at the end. I mean, as you said, Elliot, we could have 1,000 things for this answer. I mean, one thing, a name that I don't even think has come up on our show yet today, Saquon Barkley. I mean, it was until the very end when it turned into an all-time Eagles season. For 4.5-5 months, it was Saquon's season. I mean, that was the defining thing for the vast majority of the year, was this is an all-time season by an all-time athlete in Philadelphia sports.
Yeah, I mean, like, I never thought I'd see another, like, 04 T.O., 01 Iverson. Like, for me, those are the seasons. I know everyone has their own seasons.
Sure.
But for me, those are the ones that I always, like, stick out. And now, you know, again, not to keep aging ourselves, you know, like, in 20 years, I'll remember 2024 Saquon. Like, that was, it was that type of year. And just also, again, like, from my perspective of being around him, I was floored at how much he added to the locker room. Like, I don't think he gets enough credit for when there were rocky points of the season, because there were. Like, all the memories today will be positive ones. But let's not act like there weren't moments in the season where it could have fallen apart. And Saquon, just from talking to the players, like, was huge in those moments. Like, as a vocal leader, not just a player, but as a vocal leader. So Saquon's, absolutely a massively special season.
Elliot, what does your off season look like, and how much access will you have to these players now in the next, I don't know, month and a half, 2 months? Are there a lot of opportunities for interaction with the new guys who have been brought in and will be working out? How does that work?
Yeah, so I would guess we're not going to hear from many players until after the draft, which, crazily enough, like, within 2 weeks, we'll know who they take in the first round. But probably not much there. I did get a chance to catch up, actually, with A.J. Brown yesterday. He was at the link for an event about the FIFA Club World Cup that's coming to Philadelphia. And I did get to talk to him about his offseason, how it looks different maybe than other offseasons. And I thought his answer was super encouraging. He was like, look, winning the Super Bowl was great. I'm really happy we did it. But I'm not changing what I do in the offseason, win, lose, or draw. And the quote that has really stuck with me this offseason is Nick Sirianni saying, they have the type of leaders that if you don't work hard, you will be exposed. And I know that can be coachy, but just, I think it is very true. Like, AJ, Jalen, Saquon, Devontae, like, the hard workers they have on offense. And so to talk to AJ yesterday, and he had literally just come from working out to the event, like, it just has stuck with me that, you know, they really do have leaders I think will help guard against kind of the Super Bowl hangover.
Great. That's fantastic. Elliot with us right now. Reminder, Pizza Hammer coming up in about 7 minutes. I'll give you the cue to call right now on the contest line for Pizza Hammer. Fifth caller, caller five. You can compete, likely lose, but, you know, you never know. Maybe win in Pizza Hammer coming up in a few minutes. Caller number five, contest line right now, 215-988-1258. Caller number five, 215-988-1258. You'll be competing in Beat the Hammer. All right, Elliot, let's get to the draft. It's up ahead 13 days now, and 14 and 15, because obviously it's a three-day thing. So full disclosure for everyone listening, I asked Elliot off the air yesterday. I said, hey, try to be prepared with like a top couple players for certain positions and who people really should start focusing in on. Not, you know, who's a great – let's take edge rusher, Elliot. Let's start with that. Not the top edge rusher in the top five of the draft because the Eagles aren't going to get that guy. But in the Eagles' range, Elliot, give us – let's go edge rusher first, then we'll do D-tackle, then we'll do safety. Give us a couple names, edge rusher, because one of these guys could be an Eagle in 2 weeks. Edge rusher, top three, Eagles' range, what are we looking at?
And I think there's a good chance one of the names we're going to talk about will be, because I think they will attack the edge position. A name I would keep an eye on, he's actually in Philadelphia right now with a visit on the team, Texas A&M edge rusher Nick Scowerton, only 20 years old, won't even turn 21 until August. So he's one of the youngest prospects in the draft, 6'4", 280 pounds, 17 sacks in his last 35 games. And what I really like about him, what I'm sure the Eagles will like, is he has a really, really good set of pass rush moves, and he comes to the NFL with a game plan on how to attack offensive linemen. And that's such a massive advantage for any player coming into the league when you already have moves and a plan on how to attack each snap. So Nick Scowerton is a name I'd keep an eye on. But another player I think we're talking about, I heard Ray Dinger bring him up earlier in the week, Mike Green out of Marshall, the edge rush, 6'4", 22 years old. But what's interesting about him is, like, great athlete, great prospect. He does have off-the-field concerns. He had to transfer out of Virginia because of essentially a sexual assault allegation. Now, he was never charged. He said he didn't do anything. But Howie Roseman's made it clear, like, they're not drafting those guys. So Mike Green, you know, if Howie hadn't said that, I think it's someone we would talk about. But it's just an interesting decision they'd have to make there. And then I would also say James Pierce Jr. out of Tennessee, 21 years old, 19 and a half sacks in his last 40 games. Just a super, super fast step, great bend, which I know they really like in their edge prospects.
James Pierce is so fast. He's a 6'5 guy. He ran a 4'4 in the 40 at the combine electronically, but the little black book on him isn't good either, Elliot. You know, I'm concerned that the skill level is there, but the character concerns might keep him off the Eagles' radar. So these visits, the top 30 visits, is this something that we as fans have some ability to keep track of? Because I know how important they seem to have been.
That's why we have
recently.
Elliot on. He keeps track of it for us.
Yeah, I got most of them.
What do you got?
I think there's like 20 names I have. I could ramble off through them. But I mean, to your point, it is a very important process. If you look at who they've drafted, Jalen Carter came in for a visit. Nolan Smith came in for a visit. I mean, pretty much every player they've selected in the first round, besides Andre Dillard, interestingly enough, has come in for a top 30 visit. So, it's really, really important. And, you know, they do leak out. I don't have all 30, but sure. I have a good portion of them.
Elliot with us right now. By the way, James Pierce is who Mel Kiper has the Eagles taking in the last mock draft. That was just a couple of days ago. Mike Green, who Ray loves, and Elliot, of course, you were just talking about, Mel's got him going 15th. So that would be way before the Eagles. But, again, the off-the-field issue certainly could cause him to drop. If he drops into the Eagles' range, would they take him or not? You know, time will tell. All right, Elliot, let's get to D-tackle. This is another big one.
Yep.
So, which name should we be really eyeing for D-tackle, another potential early pick for the Eagles?
Yeah, so I think there's one very clear name here. It's probably a name you've heard on the station already, but Walter Nolan out of Ole Miss.
Yeah.
He's in the range. He's got, only 21 years old, super strong, really quick off the line of scrimmage, good pass rush numbers last year, and really someone that we've seen it time and time again. The Eagles love players that were at one point viewed as like ultra, ultra elite prospects, that maybe haven't hit their potential, and Walter Nolan falls under that. So definitely someone to keep an eye on. But two other names you probably haven't heard a lot about that I think make sense at 32. Derek Harmon out of Oregon. He had 43 hurries last year from the defensive tackle position. That's like an absurd amount of quarterback hurries in the college game from that position. So he would fit really nicely next to Jalen Carter, really fast off the line of scrimmage. And he had 3 forced fumbles last year. We know how much the Eagles like to emphasize punching at the ball. And then the other name that I'm sure hasn't come up on the station, Kenneth Grant out of Michigan, only 21 years old. He's more of a prospect than a player at this point, just elite physical tools, really quick first step. He would just be more of a project, I think. But he is someone that if you look at mock drafts, he's right around that area.
Yeah, so for sure. And as regarding Walter Nolan, who, you know, some of these mock drafts have had the Eagles taking him. In Mel's latest, he's got him slipping all the way down to 39.
Why is that, Elliot? The slippage for Walter Nolan, because he was up at the top of that first round. What's going on with him?
Yeah, it feels like of all the players in the draft, and I look at mock drafts, you know, pretty much all day, like he has the widest variance of where to go. Like some people have him in the top 20. You mentioned Mel Kiper has him basically at 40. Yeah. I think it's because he is a great prospect and he is a good player. Like I don't want to diminish that, but he has not reached the potential that he had coming out as the number 2 prospect in his high school class, like going into college. So I think that people are probably torn on him a little bit. Is he somebody that just won't reach his potential, or is he somebody that still has potential to be untapped? And for the Eagles, he's the perfect prospect because we know the Eagles get the most out of their prospects consistently. So I could see why there's a split variance on him, but I do think with the Eagles, he would he'd probably be a Pro Bowl player.
And then, Elliot, that's a big statement right
Jeez.
There. Yeah, Pro Bowl. Okay.
Saying stuff like that. I mean, is the general – well, Joe, does feel like – just to wrap that up, it feels like the general consensus within the Eagles organization is if they can find a guy who even as a high schooler – was top of the creme de la creme. They feel like they can coach him back to that.
As long as it's not Jahlil Okafor. I don't care if Okafor was the best 13-year-old, the best 14-year-old, the best 15-year-old. He certainly wasn't the best 20-year-old. And certainly by 22 or 23, he was done. All right. Go ahead, Elliot.
Sorry. No, I was just going to say, I know, you know, tongue-in-cheek with Okafor, but he is a great example of over these next 2 weeks what we're going to talk about. Like, these players, where they land is so important on if they hit their potential. Jahlil Okafor was obviously not going to be a great pro, but he landed in a bad situation.
He did.
A guy like Walter Nolan, he should be begging his agent to get him to Philadelphia. He will make so much money as an Eagle. So really, I think the Eagles have a heads up on these other teams because they will get the best of their prospects.
Yeah. That's good stuff. All right, Elliot, let's do one more position, and let's make it safety. Because, you know, they lost CJGJ, and I believe the Eagles have never drafted a safety in the first round.
No.
And that'll probably continue. But you never know. I mean, CJGJ was a big loss. Safety in the first round and the Eagles range. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I do think there's a chance they draft a safety. I don't think they're sold on Sidney Brown. So 3 names to keep an eye on. Obviously, Malachi Starks. We've talked about him a ton. The good news with him is it does seem like he's falling in these mock drafts. He's much more in like the mid-20s range. One draft even had him going 31 to the Chiefs, which I'm sure would go over well with the fans. So Malachi Starks, certainly a name to keep an eye on. But the other one, Nick Eamonworthy out of South Carolina, only 21 years old. He's 6'3", which is great size for a safety. Just an unbelievable athlete for the position. And what I like about him, and I'm sure the Eagles will too, is you look at where he lined up last year. 414 snaps in the box, 140 snaps, 6 snaps in slot, and almost 200 snaps deep. So he lined up all over. Now, I'm sure they'll want to have him hone in on one spot, but there's a lot of tape to watch of him of doing different things. So Nick Eamonworthy, some people think he could get drafted before Malachi Starks. So he's one of the top safeties.
Very nice.
And then the other one.
Yeah, go ahead.
The other one, quickly, Xavier Watts out of Notre Dame. He had 13 interceptions the last 2 seasons. That's like, I'm sure Nick Sirianni will like salivate watching this guy play. He's a hard hitter, and he used to play receiver, so he's really smart at recognizing offensive schemes and what receivers are going to do. So those would be the 3 names I'd keep an eye out for safety.
13 days to the NFL drafts. Elliot, fantastic work today, as always, pal. Much appreciated. We will certainly talk to you next week. Thanks, Elliot.
Yep, I'm going to talk to you guys later.
All right, Elliot Shore Parks. All right, so we'll digest all those names, and we'll dig into them more, you know, as we get into next week, because obviously, John, it's hard to do all nine that he just said right there, but some very real possibilities for the Eagles. All right, there's a contestant. His name is Tom, and he hails from Wilmington. He's got the possibility of beating the Hammer, but then again, what are the chances? I mean, the Hammer comes in with a record of 280 and only 44 losses. So whose money would you put your money on? Wait, who's – no. Who would you put your money on?
Great start.
Oh, it's bad. Let's play a little game we call Beat the Hammer.
Beat the Hammer. It's time for Beat the Hammer. On Sports Radio 94 WIP.
I hate a flub. Well, when it's my flub. I don't mind if someone else has a flub. But when I
love
a flub,
when you're flubby on a day that like you're it. Supposed to be all dialed in.
Oh, boy. All right. Beat the Hammer, our prize today is a Phillies retro powder blue T-shirt. The powder blue. I believe I heard T-Mac earlier this week say, or maybe it was over the weekend, that the powder blue is his favorite jersey. I think he did said
it's my favorite in sports, like
oh, yeah,
all of
I agree.
Sports.
See, it's not mine because it reminds me of bad Phillies teams in the 80s.
You know, my
I get
powder
that.
Blue
I can get
that I grew
that
up
that.
With.
Yeah, I can get past that, though.
What should I do with my powder blue Rhys Hoskins?
It's okay.
Yeah,
it's good.
He's a Philly.
He's a Philly. You can always wear that. You couldn't wear
a Jake Arrieta powder blue. For
you could not wear Jake Arrieta.
No.
Yes. No, you can always
Travis
wear
Travis Lee.
Yeah, you cannot wear Travis Lee. There's a
but
line.
It is.
Now Rhys is okay. People
it's
like Rhys.
I love him. We'll always love him.
So that is kind of
you're
a
good.
Solid investment.
You're in good shape. All right. Tom in Wilmington, probably not in good shape. I mean, he's about to get humiliated in front of like a million people on the radio. But good morning, Tom.
Hey, and now I'm going to be on YouTube, so the pressure is even more on.
Well, one thing, we don't do the YouTube when we're Friday at Borgata, so I hate to
burst. So less pressure. You're good there. No worries.
Yeah.
All right, cool. I caught a break.
So, Tom, do you feel confident in your sports acumen to, you know, beat the Hammer?
Well, I'm 0-3 playing Beat the Hammer, so.
Oh, wow. Hey, at least you've played it. I do think that's an advantage.
Yeah. Well, first you have to get a couple right, so we'll see how this goes.
Tom, let me just say this. When I leave this set to not be able to hear anything that goes on, I'm going to leave with tremendous confidence.
Well, Tom's really not doing much to inspire. Yeah.
I'm going to peacock on the way in, and believe me, I'm going to peacock on the way out. I'm going to wish you good luck right now, Tom.
All right. Sounds good, Jeff.
I do think it's an advantage to have played. I think the first time you get on and the music's going and the pressure's on. Tom, you're a veteran now. We could say that. I think this is the time. Fourth time's the charm, I believe.
That's it. Let's do it, guys.
I'm not noticing any peacocking at all from
Joe. Do you think he actually even knows how to peacock in real life?
We are noticing, we have a major problem with his pants shortening up. Yeah, they have shrunk.
John, it's
and
gotten worse every day.
Notices it. His pants are about 2 inches too short. All of them.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he's wearing the same.
It's weird. It's weird.
He's away now.
All right. Safely ensconced. Tom, you ready to play a little game we call Beat the Hammer?
Sounds good. Let's go, guys.
All right. Here we go. You will have 55 seconds. Our category for the week, I was going to say in honor. I will say in dishonor of the Sixers and Flyers season coming to an end. We're doing bad Philly sports seasons. Are you ready to roll, my friend?
Yep.
All right, clock will start as soon as the first question is asked. 55 seconds. Here we go. Question number one. In 2005, this former Rutgers quarterback started the final seven games for the Eagles after Donovan McNabb's injury. Name him.
Oh, my God. Skip.
What pro basketball Hall of Famer played for the 9-win Sixers in the 1972-73 season?
Skip.
The 99-loss Phillies had two different managers in 2015. Name them. What Hall of Fame head coach did the Flyers fire 8 games into the 2006-07 season? 2006-07 season.
Ken Hitchcock.
In 2012, what team beat the Eagles 42-7 in Andy Reid's last game as Eagles head coach?
Lions.
In 2005, this former Rutgers quarterback started the final 7 games for the Eagles after Don McNabb's injury. Name him.
I know this too.
Time.
Ah.
Okay.
All right, we got one.
I knew that one.
What was it? It won't count. You got it?
No. It's just I think I knew it.
Gotcha. All right, Tom, we're going to put you on hold. We're going to wave the hammer back in.
He's sort of trying to jog today. Is that what that was? Is that him trying to get a little mini workout in? I think that's what we just witnessed.
Because I'm already in better shape. I'm working out.
He tried to speed it up.
The hammer! Oh, yeah. How did it take us like 8 years to realize this should be, intro music? I mean, greatness recognizes greatness.
I think you should count yourself as lucky that you got that played for you instead of the, I don't know, some of the...
I think Chariots of Fire is probably the funniest one. This and the irony of it.
You're right. But he's actually got some alacrity to him today. Like, he was rolling down the avenue running back.
I feel good, man.
He looked sprightly.
I worked out yesterday. I feel great. All right, it's Tom in Wilmington. I actually don't feel totally great. I'm a little sore. But mentally,
good.
I feel great.
I like when you're saying,
that means
off a little.
That is a good thing.
That you did some work.
Exactly. Tom in Wilmington. Did he put in work here and beat the hammer?
You ready?
Ben.
All right. Category for the week in dishonor of the Sixers and Flyers seasons coming to an end.
Yep.
We're doing bad Philly sports seasons. Are you ready to roll, my friend?
Holy mackerel! A Chip Kelly could be in here. And you know what the irony is? They actually went 7-9 that year.
They did.
Which,
you're right.
Which is bad.
Now, Chip went 6-9.
He did.
Pat Shurmur.
That's right. Undefeated as Eagles head coach, Pat Shurmur.
All right. What do we got here, James?
Let's
go
roll.
Ahead.
All right. Yeah. You have
How did Tom?
You have 55 seconds. The clock will start as soon as the first question is finished.
I'm predicting Fred Carter as an answer.
Question number one. In 2005, this former Rutgers quarterback started the final 7 games for the Eagles after Donovan McNabb's injury. Name him.
McMahon.
What pro basketball Hall of Famer played for the 9-win Sixers in the 1972-73 season?
Wow, I didn't know they had a Hall of Famer. I will guess. Well, the question is Doug Collins in the Hall of Fame? I don't think so. I will guess George McGinnis.
The 99 Lost Phillies had 2 different managers in 2015. Name them.
Say it again?
The 99 Lost Phillies had 2 different managers in 2015. Name them.
Sandberg and McCannon?
What Hall of Fame head coach did the Flyers fire 8 games into the 2006-07 season?
Hall of Famer, I guess that's Hitchcock?
In 2012, what team beat the Eagles 42-7 in Andy Reid's last game as Eagles head coach?
Giants?
A 4-1 victory.
That's
Hal
how
Greer.
You do. Oh. That's
Hal
the hammer.
Was a Hall of Famer.
Who was?
Hal Greer.
Oh, there you go.
Wow, Hal Greer was still on that team. How about that? That's a great job by the hammer. I mean, that's a great job. I mean, it's just a hammer being a hammer. What do you want me to tell you? I mean, you want me to gloat that much? I mean, wasn't this expected? I'm the hammer, and other than MC and Dave Schultz, others aren't. So hammer's just putting in the business, putting the work he puts in, like Howie Roseman with the draft. Greatness recognizes. This guy hung up. I was just going to go to when the guy hung up.
All right, Joe, I know you're going to disagree.
You're
going to
ban this guy.
Yeah, everyone else on the show, can we all agree that even if he's the 5th caller, Tom from Wilmington is never allowed to play? But you can't go 0-4 and keep calling.
No.
And put that,
no,
put that out there. So Tom in Wilmington, and it's your wonderful guy, Tom. You are the first ever banned contestant from Beat the Hammer. I'm sorry. I got
to
do it. The audience wants
to?
It. This guy has given him 4 wins. And
nobody gives. I'm pretty sure. But I will tell you this, James. James, I concur.
Thank you.
But for a different reason. I have brought him to his knees. Hammer! I got people banned because they can't compete. That's the greatness of the hammer. Victory 281. Shut it down.
Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
So I just turned to Devin, who's filming this. This will go up on social media in the next few minutes. So I've gone back and watched some of these videos in the past, my celebration, and I realize I look so angry. And I'm not really angry. I'm really actually happy, but I go into Hammer egg mode. Uh-huh. And then I realize I should give a smile at the end, because I don't want people to think that I'm like... This is not a root canal. It's just sports talk radio.
Yeah. No,
and I'm an
intense.
Ass kicker. I'd be like Caesar after he conquers, Gaul, but was storming around in a bad mood. He wasn't in a bad mood. He was an ass kicker. Hammer, Caesar, ass kickers.
So similar.
So Joe just turned to the camera and smiled and flexed at the same time. So that'll go up. Well,
you kind of flexed. Kind of flexed. Yes, you did.
Fair enough.
All right. What's McMahon's first name?
Mike.
There you go.
Mike McMahon.
I wrote down Mark, and I was like, that doesn't look right.
Yeah.
But Mike I love McMahon. How you give the last names.
Sometimes.
Smart. It's just smart.
No, it's very smart.
It's so smart. I